Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
10 years after Pulse, a mother of one victim tells her story of a decade without her son. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. It's been 10 years since the Pulse nightclub shooting. In 2016, a gunman attacked the club, killing 49 people and injuring 58 others. The club was a well-known safe space for the LGBTQ plus community. The day of the attack was a Latin-themed dance night. Multiple remembrance ceremonies are being held this weekend in recognition of those killed and the resilience of the survivors. Many of the survivors still carry the emotional scars of that day, and so do the families of those killed.
So I started to cry and I thought, oh no, I'm gonna just really break down, and I had to refocus on something else just to stop thinking about 10 years ago.
We hear from one mother who lost her son in the attack. She shared her grieving experience and how she chooses to remember him. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Florida's new congressional map, creating four more U.S. House Republican-leaning districts, remains for the midterms. WUSF's Douglas Soule reports the state Supreme Court declined to take up an emergency request to block it.
Genesis Robinson heads the Equal Ground Education Fund, one of the advocacy groups suing the state.
Our view of this action is still the same. The action taken by the Florida legislature amounts to a partisan power grab in service to Donald Trump.
Trump has pushed GOP states to redistrict in a battle for the U.S. House majority. Some Democratic states have responded, but Florida has constitutional restrictions against partisan gerrymandering. Evan Power, chair of the Republican Party of Florida, applauds the decision.
I think that people are going to find that the new maps are fair and compact and will give them more of a chance to weigh in on who they want to represent them.
A lower court must hear the case first, but already declined to fast-track it. I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee.
Two leading experts on sloths have combined forces to recommend steps Florida can take to protect those fragile wild animals. This comes after the deaths of 56 animals brought to Orlando for the failed Sloth World attraction. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Burns has more.
Rebecca Cliff with the Sloth Conservation Foundation and Sam Troll with the Sloth Institute say they're seizing the moment to highlight the unique vulnerability of sloths and the need to protect them. Here's Troll.
This is not new information to us, but finally the public is paying attention. Finally, lawmakers are paying attention. Finally, people see it as a problem as well. And so, you know, we've been preparing for this moment like our entire careers.
Among their recommendations to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission are a ban on importing wild sloths, permit holder requirements for inspections, veterinary care, environmental controls, and record keeping, and a ban on direct contact sloth encounters. The FWC says they're reviewing the recommendations. Cliff says the agency responded with an email to set up a meeting and seems, quote, very open to these ideas. Joe Burns, Central Florida Public Media.
95 properties that used to have septic tanks in Pine Hills are now on Orange County's centralized sewer system instead. Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig has more details on the final project.
The 30 residential properties and 65 businesses are on Pine Hills Road north of West Colonial Drive. The area is part of the state's Basin Management Action Plan, or BMAP, to reduce nutrient pollution in the Wakiwa and Rock Springs Basin, or watershed. County officials say, along with helping the environment, the septic-to-sewer project also marks an investment in the area's future economic potential.
Molly Durig reporting. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. NASA's named the crew of Artemis 3, embarking on a highly complex mission and a critical step ahead of one to land humans on the moon.
Now, space flight is hard, and that's why the most important Artemis mission will always be the next Artemis mission.
A look at the Artemis 3 crew and their mission. That's this week on Are We There Yet? Get it where you get your podcasts. This week, Central Florida Public Media has been bringing you stories looking back at the Pulse nightclub tragedy. Friday, June 12th, officially marks 10 years since a gunman stormed Pulse nightclub, killing 49 people and injuring 58 others. The club was a safe space for the LGBTQ+ community. Multiple remembrance ceremonies are being held this weekend in recognition of the people killed and the resilience of the survivors. Many of those survivors still carry the emotional scars of that day. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Mario Pedersen sat down with Christine Linenen, the mother of Christopher Linenen, one of the 49 people killed in the Pulse nightclub shooting, to talk about how she remembers him.
I wanted to ask, with the 10-year remembrance of what happened, how are you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little sadder than most years. I don't know if 10 years is just piling on the, you know, the gravity of 10 years is just feeling heavier on my heart this year than most years. But one thing that I find very cathartic, first talking about it is very cathartic. Even when it's sad, it's cathartic. I was just doing a lot of gay ally events, and that was very cathartic to let people know that I was a gay ally, so that any gays who felt very vulnerable during the time, because so many gays were killed then, that let the world know that we loved each other, we loved our gay kids. But I think what keeps me healthy and regular, normal for the last 10 years is that I have been able to combat, you know, first be helpful where I could be helpful and try to be a mom to any other gays who needed a mom figure to let them know that they were loved just like Christopher was well loved.
I do have a question about your perspective, and I wanted to ask you about, with 10 years behind us, what it is that you remember about that night specifically.
I have to keep myself from trying to remember it because I've got things to do. Like, I was on my way to do something. I was transported right back to 10 years ago. And I started crying as if I was like, come on, Christine, it's 10 years. And for some reason, a lot of the memories from right back then surface, and they surface a lot when I'm in the car because I have a lot of, there's not a lot that distracts me and you get to think a lot. So I started to cry and I thought, oh no, I'm going to just really break down and I had to like refocus on something else just to stop thinking about 10 years ago.
Christine, could you remind us of, you know, who was Christopher, age 32? You know, who's the man he'd become?
Well, he was a perfect person. He was easygoing. He was happy. I could honestly say that I've never heard him say a cruel thing about another human being. No, he was gay and he was catty and he could really cut you down. He was a good Catholic. He was a movie nerd. I didn't like movies, but he was always trying to get me to watch movies. His dad, he liked movies because his dad liked movies. He could have had a side gig as a movie critic. He loved movies that much. He knew everything about the actors, the genres, the everything, and the directors. And he formed relationships through movies because if he met someone, he could always like get into a personal conversation like, oh, have you seen any movies lately? And then he could talk about that movie and then he could get in with the other things. And he had his undergrad in psychology. Then he had his graduate degree in clinical psychology, which is perfect because he had hundreds and hundreds of friends and everybody in their 20s has relationship problems.
Christopher would have been 42 coming up or 42 right now, right? And I wanted to ask you, you know, what did you hope Christopher would be today? What was he working toward?
So he was the go-to friend for any relationship issues. So his hopes was he was going to get his doctorate. That was his next step. And he was looking at Chicago. So he was looking at that. And then he also wanted to be a father. So we were looking at how at some point, not at 32, maybe not even at 42, but at 50, he wasn't ready for fatherhood right away. I mean, he had a lot of fun things he wanted to do. I mean, he wanted to go to Germany. He wanted Europe. He wanted to go to Japan. You could see what he was robbed of. He was robbed of a lot.
Yeah. It sounds like we all were robbed of the good that Christopher could have done.
Yeah, exactly. And really, when you think of all his friends who were robbed of just being a part of his life in whatever way, if they were just witnessing it on Facebook or getting a text every now and then, that they're robbed of experiencing his life that they were looking forward to experiencing too. You know, just like I look forward to experiencing his friends' lives and how they have another kid and how that kid's doing. And we're just small drops, but we have ripple effects that affect the whole flow of the ocean.
Christine, with the 10-year remembrance coming up, I was wondering how you are going to be choosing to honor Christopher on that day, how you're choosing to experience that day.
I'll make it a non-day. I'll make it something where I go to Publix or go to Lowe's, or because I've done that with Christmas, Mother's Day. I try to make them into non-days because making them into days is just so painful. It's just more pain than my heart can handle. But I do everything I can to stay healthy. You know, I see all my doctor's appointments. I want to be alive. I want to stay alive. I don't want to die. But when and if I do die, I'm looking forward to hopefully reuniting with Christopher's energy again. And so there's always that belief that I'll somehow see him again, or at least feel his direct energy.
I believe you will.
That was Central Florida Public Media's Joe Mario Pedersen speaking with Christine Leininen, the mother of Christopher Leininen, one of the 49 people killed in the Pulse nightclub shooting. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brandon Byrne. This is The Wrap.